Welcome back to Elsie's Little Pickles.
I got my pickle in my hand.
So, crazy day.
Thread?
Hmm?
Huh?
What?
What?
Tell me.
Yeah,
more.
Look out. I've been chugging some energy drinks.
Oh God.
So I'm full of piss and vinegar.
You know, you really need to get one of those. Hamster wheels after you get. Yeah, because you get amped.
Oh, I will, and I will get in one and go across the ocean. Like that dude.
Like that dude. Try to.
I'll run across. Just a pocket full of Slim Jims.
Actually, it would be kind of fun if you could get like a giant hamster wheel or ball, where you could run through it. You could run in it and not actually be touching the ground, so that you could go over like rocks and shit like that.
Wow, that sounds like a sport.
It sounds like fun.
Or coming in 2032 to the Olympics.
I wonder if they ever did that like downhill. You know, like put people in a giant ball where like you're protected. So you're not going to, even if you hit a tree, you're not going to feel it. But like you're just going down.
There's the
free falling down a fucking mountain
called Men in Kilts, which stars the two guys, Graham and Sam from. What is that? Outlander.
Yeah.
And they do that.
Oh, did they?
Yeah.
Really?
Yep.
I did not know that. So it does exist.
Yes.
All right. Well, enough of the fun shit. Tell me what kind of bad news we got this episode.
Because that's what I bring. I bring the bad news. I got some bad news for you.
Bad news.
Speaking of bad news.
That's what we should call it. Keith's bad news.
Bad news brewer.
There you go.
Texas removes 1.3 million children from the health care plan. You go, Texas.
Yeah, that's not going to bite them.
Pro-life.
Yeah, that's not going to bite them in the ass at all. See, you know, when they do shit like that, and then they have like, you know, obviously these kids are going to end up sick, but like you have something break out because the parents were also, you know, not great parents or whatever. So like, what was it? Florida, I think, has a huge measles outbreak going. Is that?
Yes.
Yeah,
they actually have a large measles outbreak and, fun times, a large leprosy outbreak.
Leprosy? Get the fuck out.
Leprosy. No.
In Florida.
Yeah, in Florida. Because Florida is one of the least vax states in the union. So I don't think there's a vaccine for the scarlet fever and maybe a little bubonic plague.
Yeah, but I don't think that there's a vaccine for leprosy, is there?
I know there's something that they do for leprosy.
I see those eyeballs scurrying across the screen. Yeah, I don't think that there is, though. I just thought leprosy kind of went away. I didn't even think it was a thing anymore.
There is a vaccine for leprosy.
Really?
Yes.
And what is it called?
It is called the BCG, the Bacillus Calmette-Guerin vaccination.
Well, for any Florida listeners, we're not telling you how to live your life, but we are telling you, if you don't want leprosy, there might be an option. There might be options.
You got a prostate from my doctor, and he left his finger in my butt. It's crazy.
That's not my finger. I told you I had health insurance.
Yeah, nothing says uh-oh than getting a prostate exam and realizing your doctor has both hands on your shoulder.
Yeah, that. Well, let's put it this way. Sometimes you got to switch doctors. It's almost as bad as when the dentist says you're going to feel a little prick in your mouth.
Oh, no.
Oh, no, no, no. Please don't. Please.
Oh, no.
I'll pay cash. All right. So go on. They decided that they're going to just kick these kids off of the health.
Yeah. The Medicaid plan or whatever.
Why? Did they give any reason?
I closed the story, so I can't give you a reason.
All right.
But, you know, it's Texas. I mean, yeah. If you're not white and middle-aged, fuck you.
Well, I mean, there's something in the water in some of these red states, man. Between Arizona, going back to, you know, Civil War era laws on abortion, to Texas kicking, would you say it was 1.3 million?
1.3 million.
Kids off of Medicare and Medicaid. Yep. I don't understand how they think that that's going to help them. I mean, I get the short-term financial aspect of it, but the long-term is that you're going to have these kids get sick, and it's probably going to end up costing more in the long-term, I would think. I don't think that we're in a situation anymore where people think past next Thursday. You know, like our legislators, like they go for the news cycle. Like they're pretty confident news cycles aren't going to last. At the worst, you know, you got a 2-week news cycle, but in general, you got a 3-day news cycle. And if you drop on the weekend on Friday late, whatever the story is going to be, pretty much by Monday noon, lunchtime, everyone's forgot about it. And it's because they throw so much shit.
We got bad news, but we're not going to stay out of the headlines because in a couple of days we're going to do something else that's terrible.
Yeah, it's like it does seem that way. Like we know that we can just, as long as we have a 3, 4, 5, up to 14-day buffer between telling you how we're going to fuck you out of your rights or fuck you out of your money or fuck you out of your health care or just plain fuck you.
You know, what if the United States just cut out Texas from the Union? Like they wanted us want to secede anyway. Well, we just cut them off. Pull all. Hey, if you want to stay a citizen, you got to move north. Just hand Mexico.
Yeah,
Texas.
You know, in Mexico, we're tired of their shit. Here you go.
I'm just saying, bless Texas.
And you know what? I don't have a dog in that fight. I don't live in Texas. I have a child that would be affected by that. So I don't have any skin in the game when it comes to that. I just don't see how that makes sense. It just doesn't.
Well, you know, they're the attorney general is being investigated by the FBI. So what do you expect?
Oh, well, that's all political. We know that. Yeah, right. Okay. Because the FBI has nothing better to do than just be political in Texas.
It was instigated by fellow Republicans. But, you know, it's all the Democrats' fault.
Oh, that's funny. So he's getting investigated because of Republicans. He's a Republican, and they're probably still trying to...
He had that whole hearing of being impeached, and they blamed the Democrats, but it was all Republicans that put him up for impeachment.
I give up. I give up. I give up on it. I do. They're killing themselves. There's another, I forget who it was, but there's another Republican that's retiring out of Congress.
I don't remember the name.
Nah, I can't think of his name either, but he's out of Wisconsin. I know that.
Yes.
Hold on. I can pull it up here real quick. They're literally getting to the point where they're going to hand the house over, you know.
And not to be confused with
Mike
Robinson,
Gallagher,
who's something Robinson out of Texas wants to remove the right from women to be able to vote.
Yeah, I heard about that too. Again, it's like they're trying to shoot themselves in the foot. I don't see what they're, you know. Plus, now you got Marjorie Taylor Greene trying to get rid of. Johnson as the Speaker of the House. This is what I think pisses me off. You do is say what they're doing, okay? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. This has nothing to do with no one's forcing them to kick McCarthy out and then get Johnson in and now want to kick Johnson out. No one except Republicans are a part of that. Every witness in every one of Trump's trials is a Republican or was on his staff. All the bad news that comes out of those trials is coming out of those people who are Republicans. You got Republicans so fed up with the circus that has become the Republican Party, they're just resigning and retiring from Congress.
According to McCarthy, who was the first Speaker of the House removed as Speaker?
Yeah.
According to him, you know why that happened.
He said, and I think we're on the same page here, but what I saw was he said that happened because it was Matt Gaetz. He didn't use his name, but he goes, that happened because I would not stop a formal ethics inquiry about a congressperson, 17-year-old. So he was mad about that. I wouldn't stop that from happening through his temper tantrum. Right. So again, this is all unforced errors.
Butt head struck.
Yeah. Yeah. And I don't see how people who are paying attention and keeping score, not from a point of view of my side's right, your side's wrong. Like, these are all unforced errors of the Republicans. They're doing it on their own. They're killing their own party. And it's because they're letting the Freedom Caucus lunatics run the show, whether that's Jordan, Marjorie Taylor Greene, Bobo, Matt Gaetz. You know what I mean? Like, pretty much you could just go through and pick out, like, if I pulled up, I'm going to pull up members of the Freedom Caucus, because I think Marjorie got either kicked out.
I read that Jack Smith, the special prosecutor, is preparing 200 indictments of GOP congressmen and senators. And at the top of the list are MTG, Jordan, and Gaetz.
Well, I mean, that would be interesting to see how, you know, like what happens with that. But I mean, at the end of the day, I don't think any of them are going to be held accountable.
As much as they want to bitch about it, Jack Smith is a registered Republican.
Again, so here is 118th Congress House Freedom Caucus members and allies. Andy Biggs, well, we all know he's a fucking lunatic. Dan Bishop, yeah. I'm not really familiar with Bishop. I've heard the name before, but I don't. Boebert, John Beechin, Ken Buck. Ken Buck went toe-to-toe with Marjorie, I believe. I think he was the one that called her Moscow Marge. Let's see.
Yeah, look out, because she's going to send her gazpacho for people.
You got Matt Gaetz.
Fucking idiot.
Paul Gosar. Marjorie Taylor Greene. Ronnie Jackson. Mike Johnson. Jim Jordan. Anna Paulina Luna. I'm just going for the ones that are in the news most often. Chip Roy. Chip Roy even, I think, had some... Wasn't he the one that was like, show me what we've done so I can tell me what we've actually accomplished? I think it was Chip Roy, you know? So like even in their own caucus, they're fighting amongst each other, but that falls over into the rest of the Republican Party. And quite frankly, I think they're literally kind of cannibalizing themselves at this point. And again, this isn't like my opinion. I mean, you can just go through and it's like, okay, you guys, you wanted Roe v. Wade overturned. You got that. I don't think they ever thought they would get that, but they got that. And it does seem like ever since, and I don't want to say it's Trump, because I don't want to seem like I'm always blaming Trump for shit. But he's, you know, the one whispering in their ears, no, don't let that bill go through. That'll be a win for Biden then, instead of, you know, understanding that, no. First off, you can have the win as the Republicans. I don't think any Democrat's going to take that. As long as we're moving shit forward and we do it in somewhat of a bipartisan way, move forward. Get it done. But he didn't want it done because it was too close to the election. And then I guarantee you, like, that border bill, as soon as, if he gets elected, that'll go through Congress like shit through a goose.
Oh, look what I did.
Yeah, and then he'll take credit for it because he doesn't think any people are dumb enough to believe it. You know, he might change one small thing in there and be like, now it's perfect. Now I can sell it to everyone.
It's the Trump border bill.
Yeah, and you get a free Bible with it.
The Trump steaks, the steaks that his company bought at Walmart and resold as Trump steaks.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, but removing Trump from it, they clearly are struggling to legislate. They're just Congress right now. Republican Congress is struggling to lead because they're constantly arguing with themselves. And that's not just on the federal level, that's also on the state level, you know? So, like, as an example, I'm sorry, but I got to imagine, come election time, those who have been kicked off of Medicare or Medicaid or had their kids kicked off of Medicare or Medicaid, they're probably not going to vote Republican. You know? And God damn it, you know what really pisses me off about it more than anything? Not to go off on a tear, but you know what really pisses me off? Really, really believe that you need a health when you're in a two-party system like we are. You know, you can say independents, you could say, you know, third-party candidates, but that they never do anything. So really, at the end of the day, it's a two-party system.
Yes.
You need to have both of those parties be pretty healthy. You know what I mean? They can, but there's a disease in the Republican Party. And it's like I said, it's not just federal, it's state, it's local. I mean, there is, and I don't know what that is, but it's like if there's an opportunity for them to shoot themselves in the foot, they will try it twice. And they will definitely succeed. They are definitely good at figuring out in the short term, like I said, short term, yeah, it'll save money by not doing that. In the long term, what are the consequences? Have you even considered those consequences? You know what I mean? As legislators, have you kind of done a cost analysis on that? You know, it would seem like not caring for children, which you wanted to have born so bad that you got rid of Roe v. Wade. But now you have these children and you're not taking care of them. You're not helping. You're not figuring it out. You're actually removing help and care. And that may seem good in the short term, but I just don't see how that's going to help in the long term, not just for those kids, but for other kids. Because when one of those kids gets sick with something crazy, it's quite possible you're going to pass it on through the rest of his class. So, I don't know. Anyways, next story. That fucking annoys me. Fucking real. And again, I don't want to sound like I'm just bashing Republicans, but this is what they're doing. And if all you did was take what they've been doing in the last 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 years and just go, this was just a scorecard. You know what I mean? Like, this is what Republicans did. Good, bad, or indifferent. You can decide what you think. The eating at each other, that's unhealthy for the whole country. Like, you know, the Marjorie Taylor Greens going after the Johnsons, or, you know, the Jim Jordans saying something nasty about this person or that, whatever, you know, whatever the case may be, that's not healthy for the party. And it's definitely not healthy for the country because nothing's getting fucking done that needs to get done.
Well, right. For the Republicans, it's party over country. So what do you expect?
No, I actually think that it's personal benefit over party and over country.
Probably.
I do. I think, you know, I think it is, what can I do to further my brand? What can I do to get more social media attention? What can I do to get more TV time? what can I do to keep the people who believe this insane bullshit is a good idea, to keep donating and keep me in office so that I can get vested, so that I can continue to rape the system.
You know what has intrigued me, and it's made me wonder, just before the ascension of the Trump monarchy, the top Republican in the party suddenly retired young. Paul Ryan,
yeah.
Yeah, he was just like, peace.
Well, that was because of the Freedom Caucus, mainly. Yeah. It was the same thing that John Boehner had gone through with them. He's like, you can't herd cats. You can't. They're not reasonable people. They're not. They don't understand how the process works. They don't understand that there has to be give and take. They don't understand that a deal is better than no deal. You know,
he literally yeeted himself out of the party.
Yeah.
It was just like, later.
Honestly, probably the best thing he could have done. You know what I mean?
And in other news.
Yep. Hit me.
Billionaire In-N-Out owner takes a stand against soaring prices amid California's minimum wage raise. Because a lot of fast food companies in California have risen their prices because their minimum wage is now $20 an hour. In-N-Out, their owner has come out and said, yeah, we're not raising our prices. We're taking a stand.
Now, I don't know if that's true or not, because I saw people pissing and moaning online that a burger had gone up a quarter or something like that, or 50 cents or whatever.
Well, according to this news, In-N-Out has said, no, we're not raising. According to the story, I have always bashed In-N-Out because I live in Texas. Texans are loyal to Whataburger. And it's the great debate in Texas, Whataburger versus In-N-Out. And I won't say anything bad about the In-N-Out burger. I've had it. It was just a burger. But this makes me like them a little more.
Yeah, you have to respect when companies do the right thing, you know, because they so often do the wrong thing. And
yes,
I honestly, even if I'm paying, fast food prices have gone up. There's no two ways about that. Okay. And I don't like it, but if me paying an extra 50 cents here or there, or, you know, my overall order goes up $2, but now I actually have people working there that can pay their bills, I'm okay with it. I'm okay with it. And if I can't afford that, then that's on me. You know, maybe you shouldn't be eating out if you can't afford that. And the worst thing that's going to happen is you're going to save your waistline. So, you know, kind of a win-win. You save the money and you save your belly from getting bigger. So that, it seems like a win-win.
And another news. NATO jets scrambled after Russia launches devastating aerial attack on Ukraine. Apparently NATO and Poland scrambled their jets because Russia bombed close to their border.
When did that happen?
That happened because I did not close the story. This morning.
Wow. I did not know that. I must have missed that story somehow.
All right. This is 13 hours ago. So probably yesterday morning. But yes, Poland and NATO forces scrambled jets because Russia got a little close, which last year, or 2 years ago, rather, one of Russia's missiles that they launched at Ukraine actually landed in Poland. And that was a big to-do, obviously.
Yeah, there was a...
hey, where are you aiming?
Yeah, it's kind of like sitting ringside and getting hit.
Yes.
You don't, yes. You know, like, no.
You go to a wrestling match and Sabu suddenly jumps in the crowd. Yeah. Whoa, hey, hey.
Yeah, easy
Tiger. There, Tiger.
Yeah, bring it down a notch.
So, yeah, and, you know, NATO and Russia are kind of, you know, poking at each other verbally.
You think it is not. You think it'll get heated to the point where we end up in a third world war? There's a lot of talk about that, but I don't.
Yes. It's, I think it is still 50-50. And quite honestly, if it's Russia versus NATO, NATO is going to crush Russia. Like horribly crush Russia. If it is China and Russia versus NATO, I'm still giving the edge to NATO.
It will be a much thinner edge, though. I mean, China has put so much investment into their military. Right now, I believe they have the largest navy. They've got a navy bigger than ours, and they're trying to get the world's largest air force. Yeah, I'm pretty sure I just saw that. That they have the largest navy.
Let me GTS that.
I'll put money on it. I'm right on that one because I literally just saw that a day or two ago. And the thing of it is, with that,
yeah, they have 370 warships. The U.S. has got 280.
Yeah. So I'm sorry, 370 they have.
Yes.
And we have 280.
Yes.
Wow. That does make a difference. That will make a difference. I don't know though. I think with the Russia Ukraine situation, then you also have the situation with, you know, Israel and the Gaza Strip, Hamas, and all that. There's a lot of opportunity for tempers to spill over and create a bigger problem for the entire world. It's not good. I'll tell you that. It's not good.
I will say the largest air force in the world is the United States. Second in size, it's actually the U.S. Navy.
Ah, that's interesting.
Yeah, that's, they're saying the Air Force has 5,300 aircraft, and in second place is the U.S. Navy with 3,700 aircraft.
Well, I mean, that I think that most military people would tell you that if you control the air, you control everything.
This is true.
You know, I mean,
in retrospect, the China, their Air Force only has 1,991 aircraft.
Oh, we would. So we really don't have to worry about that Navy too much of theirs. We just won't get wet. Take out your Air Force, and then we'll take out your Navy. Yeah, I don't know how that's going to go. I'm not optimistic, but though.
People also have to realize, though, that China does not want a major war. They have warned Russia many times. And that, to me, is very telling. That they are not willing and do not want Russia to even think, breathe on that button.
Well, I think they understand that if Russia continues down more aggressive paths, like nuclear or whatever.
Well, you have to think about this. If it is a true world war, there are much more countries there will be much more countries involved on the NATO side than there used to be.
And closer to Russia.
Yes, much closer to Russia. And right on the border. They have what, almost 900 miles of border?
With is Finland, is it?
Well, yeah, with Finland and Sweden
In
now,
Sweden
well,
now, yeah.
and NATO.
Yeah.
But add to that, who would be on, the Axis, if you will, side? Russia, maybe China,
North Korea,
Iran,
North
and
Korea,
North Korea.
Iran,
And
definitely.
let's face it, Iran and
And
Iran.
we don't know
Sorry.
how far Iran.
Yeah, I know. But Iran and North Korea would be the first wiped out. Because as much rattle or saber rattling that they do, they're all show and no go.
You might be right about that. I think that though strategically, the reason that they would be the first to go has more to do with let's do the quick and easy and get it over with. And I'm not saying that it would be quick or easy, but in comparison to like going up against, Russia and China, I
Well,
think,
I'm just
and
saying.
you've got that fucking loose cannon with Little Kim in North Korea. You never know what he's going to do.
The issue with Little Kim, the rapper, is he has no nuclear weapons. His military looks great, but their technology is pretty bad. And quite honestly, both North Korea and Iran would end up parking lots for Walmarts.
Yeah. Which
I
for
don't.
North
Go
Korea, that
ahead.
would probably be the best thing to ever happen to the citizenry.
Yes.
The bad part about it would be is it would take so long for them to kind of come into the modern day. I think it would be very difficult, and I think it would be very difficult for them to not have their dear leader because, like, you're talking about PTSD type of loyalty. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
Like,
something that is funny looking back, I feel like Mel Brooks and talking about history is how loud Germany is chirping. As on the NATO side, because Germany is like straight up, we're on the clock. We're ready. And it's to me, it's just funny because, 70 years ago, they were the issue. And nowadays, it's like, we're ready to go. We're on the good side. Who's got something to say?
yeah, like we learned our lesson, sir. Sir, we learned our lesson. We are here on time and for duty. Except it doesn't have that nice ring. It's that Schneisenbeichendeichendeich.
See,
And you
I
got
don't
people going,
know.
what'd they say?
I
He
don't
goes,
know if
he's
you
ready to
threatened
roll.
me or you made an order for schnitzel.
Yeah. So, what'd he say? He says he's
You
really
could
into
have
it.
said that you loved me because everything in German sounds angry.
Yeah, it does. Like I don't you like I
There
can't imagine
there's a
dating.
straight up connection between German language and Klingon where everything sounds like a threat.
It is very, very difficult on the ears. There's no two ways about that. And like I can't imagine two German people having sex. It's got to sound hideous. It's got to sound like they're arguing. Yeah.
I called the sex line and he was German on.
I think they
I
threatened
don't
me.
I got an awkward boner. I don't know what's going on.
I got a discipline boner.
Hair boner.
Oh, she started screaming, and I didn't know if I was supposed to be aroused or terrified. So I did both.
I ended up spanking myself. I don't know what happened.
I slapped the shit out of myself and then put a gag ball in so I wouldn't talk about it.
Oh. We're sorry, Germany, but
Oh,
we like
God. No, lovely, lovely people.
you. Lovely people.
sorry.
I would wave high, but I'm afraid of what it would look like.
I don't want the whole country waving back. if we do have a third world war, at least we can laugh through it.
Speaking of that, I went to McDonald's yesterday.
Yeah.
And was eating my McDouble because it has less sodium than your average salad. I'll have people know. And more protein, obviously. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so I was eating my healthy.
You trying to convince me or yourself?
No, everybody else. It's a fact. It has less sodium than your average salad.
Really?
Yeah. It's actually a McDonald's hamburger or McDouble, for that matter, has less sodium than any other burger, fast food chain burger.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Anyway, so I was eating my health food, and he had pulled up next to me in his car and had a Trump cardboard cutout in his passenger window.
Oh.
That covered the whole window, and it's giving the thumbs up, and I just chuckled to myself like, oh, dear.
Yeah.
And then, you see, I've got a good side and a bad side. And the bad side started talking louder and gave me an idea.
So the little devil.
Oh, I didn't want to say devil because the devil's cool. He just wants to rock and roll and have orgies. And so the little evil side started chirping a little louder than the nice side.
What did you do?
So I reached behind the passenger seat, grabbed something, and got out of my car and gave him a knock on the window and a thumbs up like, yeah, Trump 2024, yeah, baby, to give him a false sense of confidence that he ran into someone on his side. However, he pulled away and continued on his way with a Trump figure that had a little electrical tape mustache.
Ah! Oh, my God. So you put a little Hitler mustache with electrical tape on the cardboard?
With some electrical tape.
Oh, that's so fucking funny.
I'd like to know how long you drove around like that.
Well, you said it was the passenger side, right?
Correct.
Oh, I bet you he's still driving around like that. I bet you he drives around for a week or two. Because how often do you go on your passenger side, like from the outside of your car? Not often.
Oh, very rarely.
Yeah,
very
it's incredibly rare. So I'll put money on it, unless somebody else noticed it. I don't see where he would notice it. Yeah, you could go 2 weeks without that.
I could only hope he'd go a little longer, because that would be goddamn entertaining.
Well, that's the idea. I love practical jokes like that. You know what I mean? So, like, I used to do shit like that all the time. I would, you know, just fuck with people, but in a way that wasn't hurting their property or
damage. Yeah, I mean, I didn't defame anything or damage any property. Yeah, it's just a little piece of tape on the window.
Yeah, I mean, and that's not going to hurt anything. So, all right, enough political talk. I can't take it anymore. These fucking idiots. Tell me you got something else for me. So anyways, I can't take any more of the war, the politics part. So here's my news story. This is what I woke up to. And this may be good news for some people or bad news for some people. But it is still news. O.J. Simpson passed away, age 76, from cancer. All right. Now, here's the reason why it could be good news. The obvious. Everyone who lived through, as you and I did, the O.J. trial, any goodwill that O.J. had with the public, which was immense goodwill prior to this going down. prior to the murdering of Nicole Brown Simpson and her boyfriend Goldman. I can't remember. Ron Goldman. Wasn't that the father's name? I forget his first name.
Fred.
Oh, Fred. All right. Okay. So you can look at
me using my memory.
Yeah. I mean, so I obviously, you know, as a news junkie, I see this all day long on all the channels and they are consistently and constantly basically all doing the same thing, which is just showing clips of the Bronco chase, clips from the courtroom, the gloves, if don't fit, you got to acquit, all that, right? Not saying
they don't fit.
And I know that OJ in and of himself as a public figure is controversial because of those things. But that was what? Yes. That was 95, October 3rd. 94. Well, the trial started in October 95. Of 95. So that happened in 94, but the trial started in 95. And if you were you know, alive at that time, if you were participating in anything, I don't care how young or old you were, that was the biggest news story of the decade, if not
I actually remember where I was and what I was doing when I saw the Bronco chase happening live.
Oh yeah?
Which I don't know why, I guess, but it was huge.
It was huge. It was amazingly huge.
I was 18 with our road manager, Ken, for the band that I was in. And we were at some, I don't remember the name of the cantina, but it was like a Mexican cantina, throwing back pictures of Ice House when that went live broadcast. And everybody in the bar was glued to the TV.
Oh, God, are you kidding me? That chase, not only was everyone glued to the TV for the chase and the commentary, yep, and everything that went, I mean, like, that was something that did so much for cable news ratings. It was unbelievable, right?
Yep.
I don't remember where I was when it happened. I don't remember if I was on the road. I mean, I was on the road at that time, but I also had a job still at that time. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if I, you know, like I was trying to do two different, you know, I was working two jobs at the time, basically. So I don't remember. I mean, I know I was within the state, right? So I was within Michigan. But I don't remember exactly. I didn't have that burned in memory on it. Like I, you know, like people do when it's like JFK, Martin Luther King, RFK, or, you know, when Bush announced we were going to war during Desert Storm. Mm-hmm. Like there's a 9/11. I mean, like the list goes on and on and on and on of things that like you really remember where you were and, you know, you can.
I distinctly remember what I was doing when 9/11 happened too. Yeah. Yeah.
What were you doing?
I was actually on my computer next to my bed. I got up work. Was actually downloading music and on AOL Instant Messenger.
Mm.
And I got an instant message from my friend Tattoo Dan, who was like, "Oh my God, we've been attacked. We're going to war." And I was like, What are you talking about? Who got attacked? What are you talking about?" And he was like, "Turn on the news, man." So I turned on the news in the bedroom. And as I turned it on, that second plane hit.
So.
And I was like, whoa.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not going to go deep into my story, but I woke up to it. We'll just say that. I woke up to it. And because of those events, a lot of things that were going very positive in my career,
mm-hmm,
got stopped immediately.
Yeah.
So like people decide, you know, like I had just shot a half hour Showtime special. I had on 9/11, I had a development deal with Paramount, Viacom and Showtime. Mm-hmm. And they were all under the same umbrella of Viacom. Mm-hmm. I was supposed to that day meet 12 different writers or writing teams to discuss the sitcom we were going to do. And it was, you know, there was a lot of buzz that out of all the guys that had done it, there were two or three of us that had really good shots at getting a sitcom, and I was one of them. And then that all went away. I mean, for all intents and purposes, it just went away. And not, you know, not that I don't to some degree blame 9/11. But well, I mean, it's life. What are you going to do? Like I was upset about it at the time, but as time has passed, you know, I've come to realize that, you know, if it's meant to be, it's meant to be. If it's not, don't sweat it, you know. Even with this podcast, if it's successful, great. If not, it's fun, and we're having a great time doing it.
This is true.
So I don't have that kind of burned memory of OJ, though. And I think really what it boils down to is, and I'm not an apologist for OJ. I don't care. You know what I mean? Like, this was just my hot take of watching all the reporting on it. He had a very very large career in multiple areas.
Yeah, between obviously the football, he was acting in movies and TV shows.
And commercials. He was, you know,
yes,
doing Hertz commercials forever. Yep. And I had a lot of goodwill.
I'll turn on the HBO, one of the HBO's first actual original comedies. Was called First and 10, which revolved around a fictitious football team.
Yep.
It was entertaining, and he was one of the stars of it.
Yeah. So, like, that to me is, like, that gets to it, not necessarily OJ himself, okay? Because I do think that he probably did do it. You know what I mean? Like at the time I thought it, so I'm not apologizing for what may or may not have happened, but at the end of the day, he went to trial, jury found him innocent. That should be the end of that story. Okay. Mm-hmm. And what bothered me watching all this news coverage, it made me realize that we're not as nice of a country as we like to think we are. We're not as good of people as we think we are. Because what we do, and that was a perfect example of it all day long with the news coverage of it, we focus and will not forget your worst mistake. Okay? So even if you were found innocent of that, whatever the accusal is, okay?
Yes.
So, I mean, like, we know that Bill Clinton and Monica Lewinsky happened, all right? Mm-hmm. And I think he's one of the few that has kind of gotten away with it. It's always brought up. You know, if Clinton walks in a room, Bill Clinton can walk into any room, and the first thing, like, most people are thinking is, oh, yeah, you and Monica, blue dress, da-da-da, whatever, right?
Or and a picture of him behind the Oval Office desk, and, you know.
Yeah, or the idea of the cigar.
You'd never know it, but there's actually two people on this photo.
Yeah.
You know, alluding to that she's underneath.
Right. And the thing of it is like, okay, that was a bad move on his part, and he might be a creep, and all those things may be true, okay? But I think it's a little bit different with OJ, and in this sense of, regardless of what you believe the reality to be, he was still found innocent. You know, I mean, so how long is he? all of that goodwill that he had with the public, that OJ, the juice, man, I love, you know, Hurts and,
yeah.
and, you know, Naked Gun movies and, oh, he's, mm-hmm, you know, mm-hmm. he's a good dude and all that went away, but he was still found innocent. And I don't mm-hmm. think that that's fair. It's one thing if you tell the whole story and there's bad parts in it, that's one thing. But they're not really focusing on some of the better stuff that he did. I mean, they'll bring it up in a short clip. They'll bring it up in they focus on the murder trial and the Bronco chase wholeheartedly. And then they'll just drop the other 30 years or whatever of his life casually. And I don't think that, you know, I don't know. I just don't think that that's fair. If you were accused of something and it became a national news story, right? Mm-hmm. And then you were found innocent. No one should be giving you side eye. Like, and if you're a big figure like him and it was a big case, obviously, and there was a lot of controversy around it. Okay. Well, how long does that last? 5 years? 10 years? I mean, like, literally from 95, 96, I think the trial ended in 96, I think, didn't it? Or did it end in 95?
I think it was 95. I don't think it would be as big of a deal nowadays if the riot hadn't happened.
Well, you might be right about that, too. But that's, you know, that's a secondary thing that has nothing really to do with him. Like, he had no control of that happening.
No,
it happened because of those circumstances.
People freaked out and whatnot, but it is what it is.
I'll never forget with that riot. I forget his name, but the trucker that got pulled out.
Yeah, that is the image forever in people's minds.
Yeah, it was horrible.
Being dragged out and beaten and left for dead.
Which
he wasn't dead.
I got to tell you, if I was in that situation, I would have locked the doors and stepped on the gas. And if you're not smart enough to get out of the way of a semi truck, well, sorry, buddy.
Yeah.
You know, and the whole thing with OJ, I think what it's interesting to me because I actually just, and I just got turned on to like 2-3 days ago, this YouTube show, right? And, yeah. And then I found out when I went to tell you about it, that you had found out about it too. And we're all in,
yeah. I'd been watching it too.
So the idea behind the show, and I think this is really clever. So, I want to give proper, you know, shout out to this guy or to these people that put this on. It's called channel is Mythical Kitchen, right? Mm-hmm. But it's the show is Last Meals. And so I've been watching these and thinking about this, but I also have been thinking a lot about death. And then obviously wake up, OJ's dead. So like there's this little theme of death and food. It's been going around on my algorithm. And it made me think, okay, I wonder what your last meal would be if you knew that it was your last meal. So they kind of present it as just a last meal, but it's under the assumption, I take it at least, you know, like, you know, this is your last meal, like whether you're getting the death penalty or you just know that once you finish this meal, it's over.
I want to add that Mythical Kitchens is closely associated and works with GMM, known as Good Mythical Morning, which is another YouTube channel with Rhett and Link. Very entertaining. So shout out.
Yeah. So if you listen to this, definitely check these guys out. They're putting a lot of work into a quality production, and it's mm-hmm. entertaining. I'd love to be on that. I'd love to be on that show. You know what I mean? Like I love watching Hot Ones, right? But I don't know that I would want it. I don't know that I'd want to be on it. You know, I love hot, spicy. I love chicken wings. Don't get me wrong, but they're stepping into blow your asshole out territory. And yeah. And I'm not sure that I would want to put myself in that position. But this idea of your last meal, and what's interesting is it's not like they're not saying, oh, you know, you can only have this course and this course and this. I mean, they're kind of like, what would you like? What's your dream? Right. So I would be so down to do that show. I would love to do that show. But I'm curious, what would you like when you're thinking about, you know,
well, you'd have to break it up, for last meals between breakfast, lunch, dinner, dessert.
Okay.
So if you, what would be your last meal for dessert?
For dessert?
Or, sorry, breakfast.
Oh, for breakfast. Okay. I was saying we're going backwards here.
I was distracted by my dog.
Well, I'm a huge cereal fan.
Me too.
You know, we both grew up loving breakfast cereal for any meal. But
abnormally sized bowls.
I wouldn't stop there. Oh yeah. Yeah. Like mixing bowls.
Yes.
Right. I don't think I would stop with the cereal. All right. So there would probably be three components, maybe four, to my breakfast. I would definitely want, several large bowls of cereal, Frosted Flakes, Cocoa Pebbles, Apple Jacks, Captain Crunch, not necessarily with Crunch Berries, but I'm not opposed to it. Just I'm old school. I like the original. Maybe some Golden Grahams and some Sugar Pops. Not Sugar Pop. Corn Pops.
Corn Pops.
Corn Pops. Joe Biden, Corn Pop. but I also really enjoy a good breakfast sandwich or a breakfast burrito. Like, those two things I really dig. But if I go to a diner, my go-to is just two eggs over easy, couple slices of well-done bacon, maybe a couple sausages, and some toast, dry. Preferably white.
Dry toast, you psychopath.
No, because I get that a lot. The reason why I say dry toast is because I don't like mixing my butter with my jelly.
Psychopath.
I don't like it.
What is wrong?
So I will butter
it. That's it. I am never speaking to you again.
Fair enough.
Where's my button?
But I like traditional type breakfasts like that. But I think if I had to just stick with like one area, it would be cereals. Like I could just kill box after box of cereal. That would be my breakfast. What about you?
I am a simple man, and
well, for me, it would
be give me a gallon of whole milk and a big bowl, and I would want the Cocoa Pebbles.
Family size box.
Yeah,
I could be happy with that, you know, but like I said, I love so many different types of cereals. It would be tough to like just pick one, but yeah, I think I could get down with just Cocoa Pebbles. Definitely could get down with Frosted Flakes. Definitely could get down with, I don't know if I could do a whole box of Apple Jacks, but I would die trying.
Apple Jacks is far down my list. I enjoy it.
All right, now I'm done talking to you. Yeah, now I'm done talking to you. You don't buy Apple Jacks for the cereal. You buy it so you can drink the milk after you've eaten the cereal.
It doesn't taste like apple. I mean, I enjoy the cinnamon part.
All right, so if you now, the next obvious thing is lunch. What would be your last lunch?
My last lunch would be, again, I am a simple man. I would want a big bowl, a box of Frosted Flakes. Helen and Milt. But added to that, a peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
Oh, that's
a toasted.
Okay.
Peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
Yeah. Now
with grape jelly and lightly buttered on that jelly area.
So you're a grape guy, not a strawberry guy.
I'm more of a grape guy.
See, I never could do grape. Like that. Remember when, what was it? The
where's the soft button?
Yeah, exactly.
I'm out of here.
I know. It's like, we're so similar, but so different. I don't know that I would do a toasted peanut butter and jelly. I love peanut butter and jelly. Don't get me wrong. But I think I would actually probably do a grilled peanut butter. Grilled peanut butter sandwich.
There's not much difference from grilled or toasted.
Oh,
what's
no.
What's wrong with you?
No. There is, too, unless you're doing it wrong. There's a big difference between grilled and toasted. You fucking freak. And then...
I hope you enjoy your last meal.
one of my favorite sandwiches...
Mm-hmm.
Is from and they're not, you know, they're not, I don't think they're, I don't think they're franchised across the entire country. They're definitely not out of the country. I think they might just be in the Midwest. And I don't even know if they're out of Michigan, to be honest with you. But it is a local sub shop in Michigan called Tubby's Subs, and they're famous. I would be hard pressed to find
never
something
thought about that.
Yeah, the Tubby's famous would be hard pressed for me to beat as far as like a sandwich for lunch.
I could totally and completely understand that. I will not leave the podcast now.
No, thank God. I didn't even mean it with Tubby's, but I thought I could get you back.
that might have to go on the side of the lunch. Tubby's famous. Cause there's no other sub out there. I've had Subway make a Tubby's famous, but it's not as good.
No, they're
not as good.
No,
it's
one,
the dressing.
Yeah, no one can beat the way that they
the
put
white American cheese.
Oh, that white American cheese is so good with fucking salami and
it's salami and ham combination, alternating a salami and ham, American white cheese.
It's amazing.
Lettuce, and then the Tubby's famous sauce.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Which makes it. That just puts it over the edge.
Okay, so that makes sense for lunch, unless you have something you would like to add to your lunch.
Well, I was all set with bowl of Frosted Flakes and the toasted peanut butter and grape jelly sandwich. I'm going to have to add that Tubby's famous.
Okay, fair enough.
That was a good reminder. I didn't think about that, but you're absolutely right.
All right, now we go to the big meal. And I don't think that you can only have one entree here.
No.
I think, so I'm going to pose this to you with you get three entrees, three appetizers.
Appetizers?
You got to. It's your last meal.
I have no appetizers on mine.
No? Not one?
No.
You're not an appetizer guy?
If they're there, but I'm more of a meal guy.
Oh, dude, I can make a meal out of appetizers. I love, like, when you get those awesome blossoms, those big fucking onions that are deep fried. Those are amazing.
They're good. They're good, but they're not on my
Southwest
must-have.
Egg rolls? Are you fucking kidding me? Southwest egg rolls.
Even better are if you've ever had them, the Reuben egg rolls.
I haven't had a Reuben egg roll, but the Southwest, yeah, no. I
can tell that because you chose Southwest egg roll over a Reuben egg roll.
Yeah, but I'm not a big Reuben sandwich guy.
That's it. I'm closing it.
You're out of here. Fuck you.
Fuck that.
No, I enjoy a Reuben. Okay, but like, I don't go out of my way for a Reuben. Unless it's one of those things like a Reuben sandwich, I have to hear from like two or three people, like, if you don't get the Reuben from this restaurant, you are missing out. You know what I mean? Louis C.K.
I am that guy.
Louis C.K.
I have driven 4 hours for a great Reuben sandwich.
And that's what I'm saying. Like, in that situation, I would do the same thing if it was Louis C.K. did this bit. I forget what special it was on, but I thought it was the best bit because of how brutally honest it was. He's like, I like the best, and I'm not doing it justice, but this is the gist of the bit. I like the best of anything. I want to try the best. You know what I mean? So if somebody says, this is the best South African, Ethiopian, whatever, you know, restaurant. I don't even like that food, but now that I know it's the best, I'm gonna try it. I'm gonna give it a shot, right? And he goes, even if it was somebody who was like, look, I know you're not gay, but this is the best dick you'll ever taste in your life. It's corn fed, milk raised from baby, you know, like he goes through this whole thing. And then he does this.
Thank you for letting me visualize a dick feeding on a house teat. Thank you very much.
But he's like, no, it was meant to be this. I'm sure in his explanation, he's like, it's this beautiful man, you know, and he goes,
what are farmers doing?
He's like, I really don't want to suck a dick. I don't want to taste a dick. Do I have to? Well, you don't have to, but it's the best you'll ever. Okay, and he just kind of pantomimes like he's hesitant, and is a brilliant bit. If you get a chance to watch it, it's worth the watch. That's how I feel about food in general.
Be like Tom Jones, junk dipped in, you know, like Listerine.
How the fuck does your mind work?
You never heard about that?
No. Is this?
Yeah, that's a real thing. He used to apparently dip his junk in minty Listerine.
Are you kidding? That had a burn? I'm not going to find out if it burned or not, but I would imagine that I would imagine it would. It does, you say?
Oh, you're welcome.
Wow, your dick is very minty.
I don't even have to brush my teeth today.
Good old Minty Cock Keith.
Yo, you've heard of me.
But you have heard of me.
But you have heard of me.
Oh, my God. All right, so for me, I'm about appetizers. I love an appetizer. So, you know, out of the gate, the first three that pop into my mind...
That just means to me that you're a cheap date.
No, well, not really. No, I'm not. I hate to break it to you.
Get the appetizers.
Yeah, but so like I could go to a tapas type situation where, you know, you're drinking, they bring you little plates. I could do that for a very long time. But if I had to choose, like, I don't know that I can actually, I would say that my first three choices would be like one of those awesome blossom onions, the Southwest egg rolls, and then crab rangoon.
So, I do like the crab rangoon.
Crab rangoon is amazing. All right, now to your main course.
The main course. You want me to go first?
Well, I'm posing the question to you, yeah.
All right, well. For main course, I am going to go with one, Miss Lulu's in San Antonio, her chicken fried steak.
Okay.
Humongous, but as large as it is, it is also delicious. It's got a jalapeno green gravy. Uh-huh. I slam Texas all the time, even though I live there, but the food in Texas is superior. The chicken fried steak, bam. So that would be one entree.
Okay.
Two. The second one would have to be some homemade pot roast. I love pot roast.
right. Now, I'm going to
four sized ducks.
Now I'm going to put an end to this podcast because I would rather eat my big toe than eat pot roast.
That just tells me, though, you have not had a good pot roast.
I have had many. And while we both love our mother, we both know she couldn't cook for shit. So
I will make you a good pot roast.
Grandma Brewer used to make pot roast.
I don't remember any of that.
And I still, like, I just know. I'm not interested.
It has to be done in a slow cooker.
Always has been.
And I've got a few magic ingredients.
Well, if it includes cooked carrots, count me the fuck out, because I hate cooked carrots.
Really?
Oh my god, fuck.
But that's neither here nor
there. I love carrots. I love carrots, just not cooked.
Well, potatoes would be in there, some pearlized onions.
Yeah.
But I've got some magic up my sleeves. Third would have to be, it's a combo, because I would not be able to settle for one, so it has to be both.
Okay.
Which would be a pizza from Louis in Hazel Park.
Mm-hmm. Some of those pizza.
A pizza from Sorrento's in Warren, a 9 mile.
Yeah, yeah, both.
The tiny grease cup pepperoni.
Yeah, both have phenomenal pizzas. I know exactly what you're talking about.
And that is all anyone ever needs to know about pizza. I will fight anybody to defend those two.
Mm. So now
I would fight again 10 horse-sized ducks.
10 horse-sized ducks. So
if,
that
if I had to pick if I had to pick an appetizer, I would probably go with poutine. So
yeah, poutine's good.
I'm not going to explain to people what poutine is. I want you to go do some homework.
I think most people know, don't you?
Oh, there's a lot of people who don't know.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, I just found out within the last, like, 5 years.
Oh, closing my computer screen.
I just wasn't exposed to it. I just never went to a place that was serving. I had never, like, I just wasn't exposed to it.
Haven't you been to Canada?
I have, but I don't think that, yeah, when I was a kid, you know, just like you, but as an adult, I didn't go to Canada that much. And I definitely, if I went to Canada, it wasn't like I was going there to eat. I was going there to go to the bar, you know.
We would go to play a gig in Canada, spend a lot of time going to Canada. If I had my choice, I would probably live in.
Yeah, you've talked about that a lot, not just lately, but over the years. You have always had a soft spot for
just
Canada.
Just love it. I just love Canada.
Yeah. I don't have an opinion on it. I don't dislike it. I think
that
people,
is a place that I would have to take you to show you the hidden gems in Canada. The undergrounds.
Oh yeah. 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 I could dig that.
I don't
know
if you're familiar with those.
No, like I said, I didn't spend much time there. That just wasn't on my touring schedule. Did not include Canada. So now you've put me in a position of having to pick my entrees. Well, there'd definitely be a steak. Now,
okay.
Medium rare. I'm not sure though what cut I would go with. My instinct would be, you know, to do it as a surf and turf. Mm-hmm. So I would probably go with like a 6 ounce fillet and one or two lobster tails. I love surf and turf. Absolutely love surf and turf. And if I could get a side of king crab legs with that, that would be amazing.
A little bit of melted butter. A little bit of lemon.
No, you know what? No.
Oh, that's right. You were the oddball.
I was the oddball. I didn't want to taste the butter. I didn't like the way that the butter and I would do it occasionally, you know, like if I got a plate of crab legs or whatever, you know, one or two dips or whatever, just enough to get the taste, but I didn't like how the butter covered the taste. I really enjoy the taste of crab legs and lobster.
I always knew you were a little weird going back to the Red Lobster, and you got the crab legs, and you got the cola, the Coke, and you're using the crab leg as a straw. Yeah, you're just so weird.
You know, you do that once on a dare and it never leaves. I feel like OJ. That's all you're going to talk about.
You think they'll have a Bronco hearse, stretch hearse?
Oh God, that would be amazing if they did. That would actually be amazing if they got a white Bronco and just slid his ass in the back of it and one last run up the 405. That would actually be like there that would go. That would warm my heart a little bit. I hope people hear this and they contact his estate and say get a Bronco, drive him down the 405 one last time.
Follow it with a helicopter,
one last time. My second choice. All right, so yes. My first choice is steak. Surf and turf.
Surf and turf
with lobster and crab. My second choice, this is tough because I would have to be the one that made it.
I know where this is going, I think.
Baby back ribs with green bean salad or with green bean casserole. So that's something I would have to.
Green bean casserole.
Yeah. Both of those things, like, I don't necessarily care for them when made elsewhere or somebody else makes them. But my ribs and my green bean casserole, I would say that would be up there. You didn't talk about any of your sides. Would you have any sides with any of your stuff? Especially the pot roast.
I mean, if I had to pick a side, it would have been a green bean casserole and seasoned fries from Denny's.
I would do green bean casserole and maybe either, and it would be a toss up between steak fries or mashed potatoes.
I still have room then to add in a pile of hush puppies from
Long John Silver's.
Yeah, that's right.
There you go.
All right. Continue on, sir.
Speaking of Long John Silver's, they're chicken planks.
Yeah, that's what I would get, chicken planks and hush puppies.
And my last choice, this is the toughest, okay? It would be Chinese food. Definitely.
Oh, look at you.
Definitely. I love Chinese food. I love Asian food in general. So I'm big into Thai food. I'm big into Chinese food. I love that kind of food. My problem would be which one. So if I don't have to pick which one and I can have a little bit of everything, and fuck it, why not? Let's go hog wild because it's my last meal.
Yep.
Plain fried rice, right? I would definitely get wonton with it. I would do it as a meal type thing. You know, so you get your wonton, you get your egg roll. So plain fried rice. I would definitely have some sweet and sour chicken, almond boneless chicken.
That might confuse people outside of Michigan.
What, almond boneless?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Never thought about that.
That's a Michigan Midwest thing.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
I love some General Tso's chicken, some chop suey, and some beef lo mein. And I would probably do a little bit extra with beef broccoli and mushrooms. And that would probably be my limit.
Well, how about dessert, sir?
Oh, Christ, I got no room for dessert.
Well, you got to pick one.
All right. So, well, not one. I don't know that I could do more than these two. No, I can actually. I can. I would do cheesecake with strawberries and whipped cream. pumpkin pie with pumpkin pie with whipped cream. And then just to throw it off a little bit, one of those Entenmann cheese cakes. You know what I'm talking about? The cheese Danish cake or whatever, like a coffee cake or whatever it is. But the cheese one. Amazing. Now you.
Well, I would start it off with some eggnog.
We didn't talk drinks. Holy shit. We completely fucked.
Oh my God.
How did we forget fucking drinks? That's not your dessert. That's your drink. Save that for your drinks. God damn it. How did we forget drinks? Fuck.
I did not. I was saving it for the end.
Oh, I'm so upset with myself. All right. So dessert.
Eggnog.
But that's not a dessert. That's a drink.
It's both.
Okay. I don't think so. I think it's a drink.
We're fighting. Grab your spoons.
Spoon in it. This is the most contentious you've ever seen, these two little pickles.
And on top of that, a good slice of baklava.
Yeah.
And as a simple man, I would choose either a chocolate peanut butter shake from Dairy Freeze, which is on Van Dyke and Warren, or a very good hot fudge sundae from the same place, Dairy Freeze and Warren.
Okay. I'm calling bullshit on eggnog as a dessert and not a drink, but your other two I like.
I'll make it a drink just for you.
All right. Do you have a third choice for a dessert then?
I don't need anything else.
Yeah. For drinks, I think I would probably go with a bottle of Lagavulin 16. I would go with eggnog. And I would go with a vanilla shake.
Right. For me, it would be eggnog.
And I obviously would have Diet Mountain Dew. Some water to wash that all down.
I would choose the eggnog. I don't, off the top of my head, think I could pick a singular eggnog. Me full memories.
You said you got one that was amazing in Vermont.
Yes, there was a Stewart's, but honestly, this might shock a few people. My top three eggnogs in the world are Borden's eggnog. As number three.
Okay.
Number two is CF Burger eggnog.
Both of them are good. Yeah. I'm with you. And
number one is going to shock people because it is a great eggnog. And to hit number one on my list as a man who has, had his fair share of eggnogs.
Fair share. Fair share is such an understatement. I mean, people don't know you. They only know what they hear on the podcast or whatever. But those who do know you, and me being your older brother, the idea that you say casually, I've had my fair share of eggnog, is not even close to accurate. I've thought about starting a blog. An obscene amount of eggnog.
Yes.
You've had literally an and it started when you were a kid.
Yes.
If mom brought home, it started out, remember they had a quart or whatever, the skinnier one?
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
If you saw that in the fridge before I got home, it was gone.
Yeah.
So then she started going to the half gallons, and eventually she was buying 3, 4, and 5 half gallons at a time because you would go through a half gallon of eggnog a day. A day. And that day would start when you got home from school and would end with dinner. Between 3-4 hours, you would kill
a half gallon of
eggnog.
The holiday season, I would live on eggnog.
And get real shitty when it wasn't available.
Yes.
You did.
Oh, I was pissed.
Oh, I remember. I remember. You, like, as a kid, you did not understand why this was happening.
Yeah.
Why can't we get eggnog? It's the 4th of July. I don't understand why we can't have eggnog on the 4th of July.
It's true. Still true.
No.
Why?
Oh.
Why?
Why, God? Why? 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 Tell me why. Can somebody tell me why?
Number one is Kroger brand eggnog. Their original Kroger brand eggnog is phenomenal.
I've had it. I can't.
It is no joke.
I can't off the top of my head say that I would say that it was number one because I haven't had it in so long that I don't have a reference point. So I will take your word on it though with your eggnog palate.
Separate to that is a quart of CF Burgers custard nog.
I've never had custard.
I do not compare them because palate wise they're completely different. The custard nog is phenomenal. Another drink would have to be a giant vat of Guinness. Second to that would be probably a Delmore cigar malt with a cigar.
Okay.
Those are my drinks.
Well done. And I don't know that there's anything left to say except good luck, OJ. I wonder what his last meal was. You know what? I'm
curious what cancer took him.
I don't think that they listed it, at least not on...
No, they haven't.
I haven't seen it on the news.
Just curious.
Well, obviously we'll wrap this up, but I will say, I hope people, because one of the things as all this has kind of come down, not just watching that fantastic show Last Meals, and again, those guys are just killing it in my opinion, and we have no affiliation with them. We just stumbled on them, so this is just like. I'm telling you, this is just something we both enjoyed.
I've been aware of that YouTube channel because of Good Mythical Morning.
Okay. I just stumbled onto it.
Which you should watch Rhett and Link. They're best friends since they were kids, and they're killing it on YouTube. And they've got fun videos.
Yeah, I'm gonna send me some. Links.
I'm gonna have to. I'll send you some choice ones.
Yeah, because I really did dig what they're doing, at least specifically with Last Meals, and it made me think. You know, I mean, so whenever you talk Last Meals, you obviously tend to think about death a little bit, and I thought, you know, that's the damnable shame of it. Like, you know, whether it was mom, our aunt, our uncle, none of them really had a great last meal. It was hospital food. So I'm pretty sure OJ didn't have like this great last meal. Or most people. Don't have a great last meal. So
Gordon Ramsay said, most people's last meal is through a tube.
Yeah. So the reason why I wanted to talk about this is because I want everyone who can, and even if you can't, but you have to save up for it or whatever and make it a special night or whatnot. Try to go and have a really great meal. Whether it's once a week, every 2 weeks, once a month, try to have one really, something that you look forward to, something I forgot one. For my entree.
Uh-oh.
And it's a big one.
What's that?
Pegasus
Slam.
Are
you just disappointed with
yourself? Disappointed with myself because I didn't think of this one. And it's one of my favorite fucking meals ever. Is a lamb chops from Pegasus in Greektown. And that goes with the table wine, the Santa Maria table wine, the Saganaki, the Opa, that whole thing. It is just, it's so good. So good. So that's why I say, like, you know, people get caught up in the day-to-day. They get caught up in their problems. They get caught up in you know, taking care of family, taking care of friends, taking care of themselves to a certain degree, but that's usually the last thing that they're taking care of is themselves. Take a minute. Go have your last meal. Go have that last meal and look forward to it and enjoy it and go, this is one of, I'm checking this off my bucket list. And it's even better if you do it where there's a little bit of travel involved, where like you drove 4 hours for that Reuben. I think it makes it even more special because then it is the event. You know what I mean? It's not, you know, just grabbing food out of a window and bitching that it's 50 cents more than it was because they have to pay more to fast food workers. Literally, you know, and again, it doesn't have to be going to a restaurant. It could be your favorite recipe, your favorite meal, something like with me and the ribs and the green bean casserole. I don't want that from anyone else. I want to make that because I know exactly how I like it. And it's amazing to me. Maybe not to anyone else, but to me, I love it. So that would be my message is on this day of O.J. Simpson's death, whether you're happy or sad about it, go have a last meal. Enjoy something that you don't have the opportunity to have on a regular, and do it up. You know what I mean? Have the appetizer, have the drink, have the everything. Have and have the dessert. And even if you can't finish the dessert or you can't eat that dessert, get it to go, take it home, and have the dessert later. Treat yourself. Because this world sucks. We're probably going to end up in World War III, and OJ's dead, so we don't have any real killers to send in.
We need to do send death row inmates out there.
Oh, fuck. Say goodbye.
They're used to killing.
We're out.